All right, let's build an intro that moves air like a proper rig, but still holds back the real bass line so the drop feels illegal. This is advanced, so we're not just adding a sub, we're managing low-end like pressure in a room. You want the audience to feel it early, but you don't want to give them the information yet. Pressure, not identity. That's the whole game for old-school jungle intros. Open Ableton Live 12 and set your tempo somewhere between 165 and 172. I'm going to sit at 170 because it's that classic rolling pocket. Before you do anything else, decide on headroom. While you're building, keep your master peaking around minus 6 dB. Not because it's a rule, but because it keeps you honest when you start saturating and compressing. Low end gets out of hand fast when you're already too hot. Now, we're going to build the core, a two-layer bass system. One layer is the sub, the other layer is the mid bass. And the main rule is simple, the sub is stable and mono, the mid is where movement and character live. If you let the mid leak into the subzone, the whole thing starts feeling smaller, even if the meter says it's louder. Create two MIDI tracks and name them SUB and MID bass. Select them both and group them and call the group bass bus. On the SUB track, drop an operator. Oscillator is a sine wave. Set voices to 1. Turn mono on and keep glide off for now. For the amp envelope, I want a fast attack, like 0 to 5 milliseconds, then a short decay around 150 to 350 milliseconds, sustain basically off, and a release somewhere like 50 to 120 milliseconds. The point is, short, controlled notes that end cleanly. Sub overlaps can make the low end feel randomly strong or weak, and that's usually not vibe, it's messy summing. Now add a saturator after operator. Keep this subtle. Soft sine or analog clip is perfect. Drive around 1 to 3 dB, and then compensate the output so you're not tricking yourself with loudness. You're not trying to distort the sub into a fog. You're just giving it a couple harmonics so it translates outside of perfect headphones. After that, put EQ8 high pass gently around 20 to 30 Hz, 12 dB per octave. That's not for tone. That's for removing useless rumble that eats headroom. And if you're hearing any weird boxiness, you can try a tiny dip around 200 to 300 Hz, but with a mostly pure sine you often won't need it. Then utility. Make this track mono. Don't get clever with stereo sub. Club systems don't reward that. Now gain staging. Aim for the sub track to peak somewhere around minus 12 to minus 8 dB before the group. Again, boring on purpose. If you want floor shaking, you start with predictable dynamics. Now mid-bass. You've got two solid routes, wave-eatable for movement, or operator for an old-school restyle thing. Let's go wave-eatable first. Drop in wave-eatable. Choose something that can get a bit squarish or gritty. Basic shapes is fine. You can morph toward a more harmonically rich shape. Put a filter on it, MS2 or PRD, and map an LFO to the filter frequency. Rate at 1/8 or 1/4 is the classic rhythmic movement zone. Amount to taste. For the amp envelope, give it a slightly longer release than the sub so it blooms and feels alive. Now the key move, on mid bass. EQ8 at the start of the chain and high pass around 90 to 120 Hz with a steep slope, like 24 dB per octave. This is the line in the sand. This is why your sub stays huge. The mid can be loud, wide, animated, distorted, but it does not get to live down there. After the EQ, add saturator. Drive 3 to 8 dB, soft clip on if it's helping. Then if you want extra motion, add chorus ensemble or phaser flanger, but be disciplined. The mid is allowed to be stereo, but don't wash it out. Also, don't push stereo width so wide that it starts messing with mono translation. Think modest width, not 200% rave plugin energy. Then add auto filter and keep this one ready for automation. Low pass, a touch of resonance, like 10 to 20%. This is your reveal knob. Now go to the bass bus group and glue these layers together lightly. Put glue compressor on the group. Attack around 10 milliseconds. Release on auto ratio 2:1. You're only aiming for 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction at most, just to make the two layers feel like one instrument. If you're crushing it, you're flattening the very thing that makes low end feel expensive, controlled transient and movement. If you want a limiter on the group while you write, fine, but only as a safety net. Don't build a bass sound that only works because a limiter is catching it. Okay, now we write the intro in a way that teases low end. Here's the mindset. In the intro, your sub usually sits on one or two notes, often tonic and fifth. You're not giving away the bass line melody, you're giving the room pressure. The evolution is rhythm and density, not a riff. So on the SUB track, make a sub tease MIDI clip for bars 1 to 8. Use short notes, like eighths or sixteenths, and place them in the gaps. not on top of everything. A classic starting point. Put sub hits on the end of 2 and the end of 4. That's a nice little push that answers the groove without turning into a full bass line. Keep these notes short. You want them to poke. The listener should feel the speaker move, but not necessarily hum the bass. Then in bars 9 to 16, don't suddenly write a whole bass line. Instead, lengthen a couple notes slightly, or add one extra hit per bar. Tiny changes. This is information management. Your intro should feel like it's building without you turning things up. Now the pro move, automate energy without changing notes. On mid-bass, automate auto-filter cutoff. Start muffled and slowly open across 8 to 16 bars. Do the same with saturation drive, but tiny, like plus 1 or plus 2 dB by the end. If you go too far, you'll push harshness and the mix will feel smaller because your low mids will pile up. On sub, keep the tone stable. Instead of sweeping filters, automate note length and velocity subtly. And if you really need a lift toward the pre-drop, automate operators level up half a dB to maybe 1.5 dB, but do it late, like last 4 bars. That way you're raising pressure, not revealing new content. Now, breakbeats. Because jungle intros aren't just pads and a filter sweep, the breaks are the engine, but they must not fight your low end. Drop an amen or think-style break into an audio track. For warping, if you're using a full loop and you want it smooth, Complex Pro can work, but for tight transient breaks, try Beats Mode and Preserve Transients. That keeps the snap. Then right-click the loop and slice to new MIDI track, slicing by transients, and use drum rack. Now you can program variations and ghost hits without time stretch artifacts wrecking the feel. Group your break elements into a break bus. First thing on that bus, EQ8 high pass around 80 to 120 Hz. Start at 100 Hz and adjust. The goal is that the break contributes punch and vibe, not sub-rumble. A lot of old samples have low-end garbage that sounds cool solo, but it wrecks your bass consistency. Add drum bus if you want, but in the intro keep the boom off, or extremely low. Boom can feel impressive, but it often fights the real sub and makes the low-end feel flappy. If you want crunch, use drive, not fake low-end. A classic intro trick. Put auto-filter on the break bus, low-pass it down around 2 to 5kHz for bars 1 to 8, then gradually open it so by bar 16 you're closer to full bandwidth, like 10 to 16kHz. While it's filtered, add a tiny delay send, maybe echo, to give space without needing massive reverb. And remember, reverb returns can carry low-mid energy. If the intro loses slam when you add space, high-pass your returns. Now, sidechain. But we're doing it musically, not like house pump. Create a ghost kick track. Put a short clicky kick sample on it, and mute its output so you don't hear it. This track exists only to trigger sidechain consistently. Put compressor on the bass bus, enable sidechain, and set the input to the ghost kick. Attack around 0.3 to 3 milliseconds, release around 60 to 120 milliseconds, ratio 2:1 to 4:1. You're aiming for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. This is just making space for kick and snare so the low end reads clean in a busy break. Here's an advanced tension trick. Automate the release time across the intro. Early on, slightly longer release so it breathes. As you get closer to the drop, shorten the release. That makes the low end feel tighter and more urgent without obviously changing volume. Now, let's talk pre-drop weight. The sub drop. One bar before the drop, add a controlled sine drop. You can print it from operator or use Audito. Start around 55 to 60 Hz and slide down to around 35 to 40 Hz. Keep it short, half a bar to one bar. Too long and it'll mask your first kick on the drop, which is the exact moment you need maximum impact. Process it cleanly. EQ8 cutting below 25 Hz. Light saturation, utility mono. And really important, don't let it overlap your main sub note in a way that causes phase cancellation. Either mute the sub MIDI during the sub drop moment, or keep them separated in time. Also make sure your audio clip starts at a zero crossing so you don't click. A micro fade in, like 1 to 5 milliseconds, fixes clicks without softening the impact. If you want extra old school chaos, do a break fill in the last bar. Duplicate the last bar of break and do a quick echo feedback swell, or a tiny frequency shift or downshift. Tasteful. Jungle loves chaos, but your low end must stay disciplined. That's the contrast that makes it feel professional. Now, arrangement. Here's a 16-bar blueprint you can reuse forever. Bars 1 to 4, filtered break, atmos, tiny sub-pulses, sparse. You're establishing the room. Bars 5 to 8, add hats or shakers, introduce a mid-bass shadow but keep it filtered and quiet, and maybe one extra bass hit. Bars 9 to 12, open the break more, add ghost notes, maybe to Tom or little accent lane hits. Mid bass filter starts opening. Bars 13 to 16, snare build, sub drop, final break fill. And here's the secret weapon. Add a drop gap right before the drop, a quarter bar or half bar where you remove most things. Either silence or a filtered tail. Systems love that contrast because it resets the ear, and the drop feels bigger even at the same level. Quick hygiene checks before you commit. Put Spectrum on the bass bus, and look at 30 to 120 Hz while the break plays. You're checking for a stable foundation, not spikes and holes. Then do a mono check. Temporarily put utility on the master and hit mono. If the bass disappears, it's almost always because your mid layer has stereo nonsense too low, or your sub and mid are fighting around 90 to 130 Hz. Fix it at the source. High pass the mid more aggressively, reduce width. Simplify movement. Also do an A/B test that tells the truth. Solo adjust your sub and a minimal kick pattern. If that doesn't slam, your problem is the bass itself. If it slams, then unsolo the breaks and atmos. If it stops slamming, don't add more bass. Remove low mid buildup elsewhere. Usually it's 150 to 350 Hz from breaks, pads, reverbs, or distortion returns.